Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. I trust the source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. The Bears.
What is going on? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of 79th and Hallis. This is episode 289. Can't believe we've done 289 episodes of this. It's your boy, Scott and Flows. I'm not going to wish you Happy New Year because it is after the third, and we should be over there by now. But we are back. Today, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Obviously, Bears playoff game kicks off this weekend. Wild card weekend for the Bears, hosting their first playoff game in 7 years. Even though I don't count the 2020 season in anything in sports, that game was on the road anyway in New Orleans, which a lot of people don't even remember. And I don't blame you because nothing good happened in 2020. Okay. Nothing at all. But this is first home playoff game in 7 years. It's only the third time there's been a playoffs while we've been doing this podcast. Only the second time they've had a winning record when we did this podcast, because when they made it in the COVID season, they did not have a winning record. It was 500 record. So, of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms at BarbChairScott, at Flows and Alini. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. All those links in the description box. Subscribe to the Patreon. All the Barber's Chair podcast feeds and everything's in the description box. Okay. Just click those links accordingly today, man. But before we get into it, how you feeling? And you were on mute before you say anything.
Indifferent, which probably isn't great. Like, if in a moment of like radical honesty, there's nervousness covering, you know, this game. This is the first playoff game either of us have covered.
Yes.
First playoff game I covered, winner takes all, and it's against your foe that has dominated you for just about two decades. So yeah, there's a bit of
it's actually been three, but you know, who's counting?
Well, I mean, they didn't dominate during the Lovey era. Lovey had a winning record.
I mean, Lovey's only there during the far times. He didn't dominate when Rodgers became quarterback. We dominated him for like a 2.5 year span.
No, I mean, he still didn't have a lopsided record against the Packers. It was like 10 and
11. What's his overall record against the Packers?
Let's see. Matt Nagy was 1-7. That's crazy. John Fox was 1-5. Mark Trestman was 1-3. Lovie Smith was 9-11.
Yeah, it's not. He's still under 500.
So it's not domination, though. Especially because a good chunk of those wins.
Well, against
so you can't say dominate for decades, but again, this is what brothers do. We get very, very argumentative about specifics.
That's domination.
So, tomato. Decades of dominance about, you know, 2 decades of them dominating the Bears, and you're then going in to play them and move on to the next round, and it's them of all people. So it's a bit of nervousness with it. You know, the solace I take is one. The Bears, Caleb Williams should probably be 3-1 against them. Should have won last year, both games. I mean, one was a blocked field goal. There was just, you know, should have been a dub. Last year, the end of the season, obviously they won. This year, they lost their first game with the interception. Could have got it, but it's just good play on the defense, bad ball. And obviously this year, the last game they won. So, yeah, it's a bit of like a feeling. But I am excited to cover them and excited just to see what, you know, what will this season shake out to, or postseason rather.
Yeah, I am over the top nervous. I haven't even thought about covering this game. I think I will think about that till the game is over. To be completely honest with you, I don't think this is going to be a moment that hasn't crossed my mind at all, not in the slightest. I'm nervous. I do not feel good about this game in the slightest. for a multitude of reasons that we will get into on this episode. A lot of that is unchecked PTSD that has nothing to do with this current crop of Bears players and these current crop of Packers players. I have to keep reminding myself multiple times, Brett Favre is not coming through that door. Aaron Rodgers is not coming through that door. Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Devonta Adams are not coming through that door. Well, Devonta Adams might come through that door if we win this game, and then we got to play the Rams in the second round, but that's whatever. But, yes, I'm nervous about it. I'm very nervous about it. I did not like the way we finished out the season. Left a very sour taste in my mouth, Pauls. And I just, yeah, I think I've been trying to talk confidence into myself over these last couple of days. Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about it. So, yeah, we'll get into the specifics of everything about this game. Because I know some people, a lot of people called me a doomer on Saturday. Said them then. Y'all don't know the pain I've been through. I don't know if some of y'all are new to this. Like, Jordy Nelson and not Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb and Aaron Rodgers have ruined my life more than anybody on planet Earth. Like, the DJ Moore win a couple weeks ago kind of took away the pain I have from 4th and 8 because both of those were like regular season game. 4th and 8 was for the division. And let's be real, that game a couple weeks ago was for the division. That pretty much clinched it for the Bears. So that took away a lot of my 4th and 8 PTSD. A win on Saturday will officially take away my Packer fear. A win on Saturday, and I'm like, let's run it. You know what I'm saying? Like, bring it. And Packer fans won't admit it either. There's a lot on line for them, too. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot on line. I just saw Mike Florio was on the score today with Mully and David Hall, and he said that it sounds crazy, but Matt LaFleur's job is on the line, which, by the way, is insane.
Yeah.
Fire Matt LaFleur would be the dumbest thing they have done, at least in my time rooting, watching the NFL.
I mean, but isn't that like the Packers in general? I was intrigued. Did they fire Mike McCarthy or did he leave?
McCarthy was there for a decade. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy went to multiple NFC Championship games. So he had a longer leash. Obviously, LaFleur had
to leave. Did they fire him? They fire him or did he leave?
No, they fired him. They fired him. No, I think it was mutually because Dallas wanted him. I think it was a mutual partner race. Don't quote me on that. But either way, I don't think they just fired him and gave him like a disrespectful get out of my face. I think they did it in a classy way.
You know, it's interesting because he coached him from 2006 to 2017. And out of that entire tenure, he had 3 losing seasons. Yeah. Every other time, he won a Super Bowl, Western Conference, went to the conference finals, went to the wild card, division, conference. And it's interesting because Matt LaFleur has not had a losing season. No, he has 1 losing season, 2022, when he went 8-9. Outside of that, he has not had a losing season. I mean,
but no division titles either. That's the nuts part.
No, he does have division titles.
When did they win a division title?
Doesn't he?
Was he was here with Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, all right. Well, he got some with Rodgers. He ain't got none with Jordan Love. Jordan Love does not have a division championship. Yeah. Okay. I'm forgetting he was here for the tail end of Rodgers, because when the Steelers won, now they got the game up on right now. When the Steelers won, I did not know this is the first time in 4 seasons that Aaron Rodgers been in the playoffs. Doesn't feel that way, but I forgot he wasted his time with the Jets.
Yeah, because they won 3 straight years from 2019 to 2021. Okay. And that's Mike McCarthy's this thing. So yeah, he has 3. And then the Vikings, 2 Lions, and then Bears.
Okay. Yeah, but there's a lot on line for the Packers too. Packer fans will never admit it, but if the Bears win this game on Saturday, you can no longer chant Bears still suck. You can no longer say that you have the best quarterback over the Bears, which the Bears have never been able to say in franchise history. They haven't been able to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they have a better quarterback. In franchise history, even if you go before them, it was Bart Starr and all them. So they have never been able to say in franchise history, we have a better quarterback. That's number 3, you might be looking for a new head coach. And then if Jordan Love plays bad, the question is going to be like, did we pay him too early? Spoiler alert, yes. So they got a lot of question marks on line. I think if the Bears lose on Saturday, the fans will feel it. I don't want to be the meathead and say the fans will feel it more than the players. That's not what I mean. But I think the players and the organization, though, we're going in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, Ben Johnson, DA, everybody who's going to be involved in the offseason decisions know this offense just needs to gain consistency, and we need to build this defense. And the defense doesn't have to be monsters of Midway, clocking people heads off, looking like Seattle's defense this year or Denver's this year. Granted, I would love it. Because as a Chicago Bears fan, I get disrespected when I see bad defense. I want to see CTE ball on the defensive side. But if your offense is great, you just need a middle-of-the-road defense, and you can win in today's NFL. So even if they lose, yeah, it's going to suck. But they're going to be like, okay, we know we're good. Bears fans, it's going to be a terrible offseason if they lose. We want to wear that, you know what I'm saying, which I am dreading. But for the Packers, it's a lot online for them too. But let's start with our first topic. I want to talk about the poor end to the regular season. Because, you know, everybody, I feel like the last two losses, people are like, oh, I don't care. You know, we already won this and we already won that, which I understand and which isn't wrong per se. But I like to watch how teams play games. You know what I'm saying? And the last three games that the Bears have played, I have not liked how they played. And that includes the win over Green Bay. Because if you want to be real, Green Bay kicked their ass for 58 minutes, okay? Yeah. It was not a good game. The funny thing is they lost the game in Green Bay, and I feel they played better in Green Bay than they did at home. That's the crazy part about those two Green Bay games. So if you look at the last three games, taking the Browns game out of it, doing the roof before, but it's the Browns. Yeah, the Browns have a good defense, but let's just be real. They were already thinking about, well, let's just get Myles Garrett his record. The offense has just not been consistent all year. There's been two games all season where they have had their foot on the gas from the first play to the last. That's the week three against Dallas, where the Bears needed a win, got the first win of the season, and that was against the 49ers last week because they were playing no defense, and the Niners' defense is just as bad as the Bears' defense. That's the only time it's looked good. I feel like they got to get back to having a consistent running game. Now, if you look at the stats will tell you, okay, the running game has still been respectful, but I don't feel like these have been – I don't think like these have been sustained running drives for the Bears since I want to say the second Green Bay game. I mean, the first Green Bay. I'm looking at the Browns. Okay, they did pretty decent against the Browns running the ball, but it hasn't been the dedication to the running that they needed to be. There's been a lot of bad starts. I feel like the offensive line started to get tired these last couple games. And obviously we see what it looks like when Isaac Trupilio is not out there. That whole left side was getting blown up on Sunday. Even Dolman's looking a little tired. Jonah Jackson, Darnell Wright, the last two games. So you got that. And the defense has just been flat out awful. But see, the weird thing about the Bears' defense is they don't give up a lot of points outside of the Niners game. And let's just say those three games this year, they gave up a lot of points. The Niners game, the first Detroit game, and the Cincinnati game. Outside of that, they just give them a chunk of yards. You know, they only gave up 19 points against Detroit, really 16 because the last three won the game as the final buzzer went off. But they had 400 yards of offense. Like, that kind of stuff can't happen. They are winning the TOP battle, the time of possession, and that has given the Bears less and less possessions, which makes them need to be more on top of their game. And that's been an issue. And so I just hate the way that they finished the season. Honestly, doesn't mean anything. I've seen Super Bowl champions, and I'm not saying the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. Somebody's going to be in San Francisco who's going to be at Alice Hall on Thursday, and that one's going to be me. Okay? I don't know about them. I will be at Levi Stadium. But if you just look at, you know, how they've played, you know, it makes you have to be more accurate or more consistent with the drives that you have. The game plan for me for the entire rest of the playoffs should be the game plan you had in Philadelphia. Run the ball. And if the defense starts stopping it, you know Caleb can go out there and win the game for you. That's what it needs to be. And then I think what we learned this year too, which some people don't want to admit because you got the rose colored new coach glasses on. Ben is still learning too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ben is, this is the first time that, you know, he's been a play caller and a head coach. He's doing everything. And we all know last year's playoff game that Detroit Lions fans will never forget to remind us, Ben did not have his best game called against the Washington Commanders last year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember that stupid play with J-Mo where he got picked off. If I see DJ Moore throwing anything, I'm going to be irate. You know what I'm saying? I know he's been trying to get that Theo Benedict touchdown off. No. Okay. So that's stuff he's got to learn as well. But you're 0-0 now. And I actually think having a short week will benefit the Bears more because they can just get over that loss quickly. You know what I'm saying? And just get right to it. And both teams are coming in not playing good ball. The Packers have not won a football game since they beat the Bears at Lambeau Field. They lost to Denver, in Denver, where they lost Michael Parsons for the year. They came to Chicago, lost. They let Derrick Henry run all of them at the crib at Lambeau. They lost that. And even though they didn't play no starters on Sunday, they lost to the Minnesota Vikings. So both teams are coming in on losing streaks. And it really kind of feels like the Packers are dead man walking, which is never a good thing for the opposing team because you don't know which kind of team you're going to get. I just want to answer these questions real quick before you go. CJ and Kyler in training this week. Well, Ben Johnson said that he hopes that Kyler Gordon will be in practice this week. We have not gotten the official notice that he's been activated. So we'll see. I will be absolutely stunned if CJ Gardner-Johnson plays on Saturday. He's still in concussion protocol. You usually don't get out of that even if it was a regular week. So I wouldn't expect him at all. I think there's a good chance for Kyler. We will see what the injury report says today, but I do expect Roman Dunze to play as well. DJ hates the Packers most. Ben needs to take advantage of that because he kills them. DJ needs to run his route all the way. Did not do that on Sunday. But what's your thoughts on the ending of the season?
Part of it is like I understood that it was going to happen. I was a little bit sad to see the defense regress so much against the 49ers and like not stopping a nosebleed. It's just like Brock Purdy turns into Joe Montana. It's not like Brock Purdy's not a good QB. He's a very solid QB, but he shouldn't be spinning you and looking like Steve Young. That shouldn't happen. And then on the flip side, I was happy to see the offense. The offense was like scoring at will, like imposing their will upon a good Niners team, even though there were some injuries on defense. And so, yeah, it was a little bit so-so with the Niners game. I was like, well, you know, it's a hard-fought game. It's they're a tough team, and their coach is probably going to be one of the candidates for coach of the year. But at least I know that they can score offensively. Fast forward to this Lions game, and that first half was like super bend, but don't break. You can get down there, but you ain't getting six. And imagine if they did get it. They would have beat the Bears. They would have been up by like freaking 35. You know, and the Bears would have had to come back even more. And that inconsistency bothers me because, like, okay, we're going into now we're going into a game with the division rival. And, you know, it's what Orla said. The only thing that you really focus on is like they have beat the Bears for such a long time. But, man, to be the man, you got to beat the man. We had beat Buckeyes had beat Michigan for quite some time. I don't know, like 10, 14, how many times in a row. What happened? They came in, smoked the Bears. He was 2020, smoked the Buckeyes. It was either 2020 or 2021, and started that trend of them dominating the Buckeyes. And that, again, it was they can't win until they do. And I think there's enough information, enough data on the Bears playing the Packers as of recent for make me think, yeah, they're going to do some damage, and they can and are the better team. But that end of the season wasn't what I would like, and I don't understand how at the beginning of the year it looked like Ben Johnson could put together a very good opening drive, get some opening points, but then struggle later in the game, and now it's a flip side. So it's part of it is it's the normal rhythm of a coach trying to find his culture, his flow, his rhythm. But at the same time, it's like, man, just what do you do in that second half and what did you do before in that first half that you could just combine so they're a constant threat? Because if the Bears are constant threat scoring, I think they can beat anybody. Cocaine you. Yes, but Michigan was playing who? Right. Oh, they lost. And guess what? Guess what they weren't in? The CFP, because you suck and we beat y'all ass. Anyway, but yeah, so the Bears have enough. The end of the season was disappointing, but this is a trend of a first-year coach trying to put it all together. So it's not shocking, but it is disappointing and worrisome.
Yeah, cocaine use hilarious. They say DJ tripped and rolled his ankle. I don't know where y'all got that from because he played the rest of the game. I mean, we didn't hear anything about injury, so I don't know. Said we're both home watching championship, Hermano, is what he said. Okay. Well, this is not Big Ten, 79th in Big Ten. It's a side note, the wide receiving tight end can stop. Everybody needs to stop dropping the damn ball. If people caught the ball, no one, if Bluetooth catches that ball that he tripped on that final drive, I believe the Bears going to win the game. I think the Bears had Caleb Williams has 400 yards left on the table because of drops. So he would have got them 4,000 yards, and I believe he probably had a better chance to get 30 touchdowns. Ain't no problem. I think he would have. He finished with 27 passes. So, yeah. Let's get into playoff concerns. So here are my concerns. I got a lot of concerns. My number one concern is the defense, obviously. The defense, at this point, they are who they are. I don't think that they're going to be any more than what they are. I think we see that when they're not turning the ball over, they're absolutely dreadful. So you're going to have to hope that the turnovers continue. They did get a turnover on Sunday. Kevin Byard finished the season with the most interceptions in the league with 7. So he was able to get off because of a tip. That was J-Mo's fault. That was not Matthew Stafford, but Jared Goff's fault. And, of course, as we've always said on this podcast, there needs to be earned interceptions and unearned interceptions because receivers be responsible for a lot of these interceptions that these quarterbacks throw. That was not on golf. But they have to get turnovers. But I think they just got to limit the chunk plays. You know what I'm saying? So that's something where, you know, I'm just hoping they limit it. I don't have much confidence about it, especially against the Packers, because in the 2 games they played, Jordan Love gets the chunk plays all the time. Now, what their strength has been is not being allowing touchdowns in the red zone. They've been really good red zone defense. I tweeted that on Sunday, and somebody said that's because they ran out of field to get more chunk plays, which is hilarious and probably true. But they have real good red zone defense, so that's a good positive right there. But they just got to find a way to just limit the chunk plays as much as possible. Now, the good thing is the Packers don't have the speed that the Detroit Lions have. Detroit Lions are just a bad matchup for the Bears. You know what I'm saying? Like J-Mo, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra. I wanted to put a hit out on Amon-Ra for every catch he had. He was doing mock in the celly. Fair play. It's a rivalry. But it was pissing me off. I said Adam Johns reported the DJ thing. Okay, cool. I didn't see. It must not have been serious because DJ continued, and he's in practice, so I didn't know that. But shout out to Adam Johns. So I'm not that concerned outside of the defense. I can't even say concerned no more because they are who they are. You know what I'm saying? That's like getting mad at somebody for being who they are. That's just who the defense is. My number one worry is, will this offense be consistent enough? That's the number one thing to unlock this offense from being good, and they're really good this year, to being great. And something I feel over OTAs and over training camp, that's going to be nipped in the bud. I think next year there's not going to be an issue of consistency with this offense. Because we all, in fact, they've come along this offense way quicker than I thought this was going to get at any point of this year. There was time the training camp, I was like, this might take a while. Especially with the offensive line. I didn't see that at all. So my number one concern is, can the offense take advantage of the drives they do have? Because I do believe that the Packers are going to try to win the time of possession game again and just put the pressure on them. So Ben has to not galaxy brain it. He's got to run the football, make smarter and sound decisions, and don't be afraid to take the points. Take the points. In a game like this, you're going to need every point. As we've seen in every Packer game, for the last 2 seasons, they come down to the last play. So you're going to need the points. So if there's something, let's just say it's a 4th-and-5 early in the game, take the field goal. You know what I'm saying? Do things like that. So I'm not saying a conservative game plan, but the game plan that they had against the Philadelphia Eagles to me should be the blueprint for not just this game, but the entire postseason, because you're going to have to win a time of possession game because your defense needs to be off the field as much as possible in this game. Said Ben needs to get off the bus running. I said, yes, 100%. A fast start is imperative. If they win the coin toss on Saturday, receive the ball. Like, you know, and that's no disrespect to the defense. Receive the ball, all right, and make sure you go out there and do it first. It's our cousin Peyton. He said the Bears have to have a similar plan to the Bills. The defense isn't good, so therefore we need to control the clock. We're supposed to play action. We saw that play, a shootout 49. It's not going to work. I agree with that. Don't go full Dan Campbell. Exactly. Take the points. Joe, what are your biggest concerns coming into the playoffs?
Oh, pass rush. Just getting to the quarterback. I mean, you couldn't get to Malik Willis, and he sat back and got himself probably a new contract somewhere. Like that's the glaring hole is like, can you rush the quarterback? And I'm not concerned with them making the opportunity of being ball hawks and punching the ball out, but they cannot rush the quarterback. And that's like my greatest fear for that game. That being said, the Packers offense is, I don't know their specific rating, but their offense doesn't frighten me at all. And I think it would be fair to say that, not just like, oh, being a Bears homer or something like that. You know, whereas the Bears are a top 10 team in total offense. I want to say Packers are probably like middle of the road in total offense and yards and scores and everything. So I don't have that, oh, man, we got to make sure we're not doing this. And it's not like it's the Niners. And the Niners are literally right there with the Bears in total offense and have had more yards on the year. And we see what they have done to the Bears specifically. So my concern really is, can they stop Jordan Love, which we assume will be playing in that pocket? Can they condense that hole? Can they make it difficult? And sorry for hearing my school bells ringing because I am a teacher. But can they stop it? Can they condense that pocket? You know, can they make it very difficult for him to throw the ball, to find his receivers? Because if they just let him sit back like Jared Goff was doing, they'll lose. And I don't know any team that has allowed a quarterback to have just free reign in the line and not lose. That's just the brass tacks.
Have they sacked Jordan Love at all this year? That's a good question. Hmm. Because I feel like he'd be having all day back then, which every quarterback has all day. Joe Flacco tore him apart like it was 2009 in Cincinnati. So yeah, I'm with you. The reason I don't harp much on that because they are.
In that game, in the first game, so they have sacked
once in two games, and Malik Willis was running over them like he was Lamar Jackson. So yeah, we just know that's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? We just know that's not just gonna happen because that's just who this defense is. Like, they're not gonna change miraculously. So we can't rush the pass. You right? Would you suggest we play man and send pressure like the Steelers? We can't sit on the zone. Our offense is our defense. Sadly, Ben don't break the defense. We're the offense that controls the clock. They got destroyed in man on Sunday. Absolutely pulverized in man. Even Jaquan brought up, which I didn't like those comments. Kind of felt like he was calling DA out, but whatever. I don't think man is the solution. You know what I think the solution is? Prayer. That's what I think the solution is. Prayer that they can get two turnovers, and just like you said, Peyton, that our offense is our defense. They're going to have to score some points. it's just that simple.
Yeah, it's – one thing's for sure is that if you are a team who loves to play man and does not have the personnel to play man, you got to get out of man. The only QB this defense.
That's because half their offensive line were hurt that game. That's why.
Right. The Bears are going to have to switch things up on the offense. Like, I saw too many single high freaking cover zero defenses, cover zero when there is complete man, cover one or one, a single high when there is one safety deep. I would rather you sit in two high the entire game and at least have some backdoor coverages than just sitting in single high. That's just a recipe for disaster. And on top of that, I don't like cover zero for most things in the NFL, unless it's just they have such a distance to go to that we're just going to go all out and try to get man and rush the quarterback. And so the Bears are going to have to find a way to sit in some sort of zone that allows them to cover a little more area without having to commit themselves to running with these players all over the field, both sides of the field. Because if they don't, it'll have a situation where it's like, oh, well, third and 10. Here comes freaking Romeo Doubs out the out of a little slant or a little drag route and takes it 15. Like, they got to find a way to be able to sit in their zones, but also mix it up with a little bit of man. But you can't sit in man the entire day. That's just not going to work. So my biggest thing is rush the quarterback, sending a little bit of heat. Jordan Love's best decision-making, like most quarterbacks, comes when he gets to sit back. If he sits back, then you're in trouble. And it's, you know, thank goodness the Bears aren't playing someone like Matt Stafford. Where Matt Stafford is, that ball gets out quick. You try to rush, it's coming out quicker than it did before. And, the Bears are going to have to do that. If we sit too high, does Josh Jacobs – put that comment back up. I think that was our cousin Pay. If we sit too high, does Josh Jacobs have an Aaron Jones bear killer game? Josh Jacobs is a very good running back.
Aaron Jones is a bear killer. Right now. Josh Jacobs has one knee right now.
Josh Jacobs has a cooked knee, and that's my main concern. Yeah. Whereas Aaron Jones just – not only was he pass catching – I mean, not only he rushing, he was pass catching. He was a danger. I'm not – I don't think the Bears should be as concerned about Josh Jacobs out the backfield. I mean, out of the coming out of the flats to try to get some yards or coming upfield. I don't think the Bears should be concerned with that. But I also think that the Bears do a much better job rushing – getting to the running back, then they do rushing the quarterback. Rushing to the quarterback is truly their Achilles heel. But defensively stopping the run, it's not that they're elite at it, but they're far better than they are rushing. Because when it comes to them passing and rushing the quarterback, it's like kind of night and day. And so I would be far more happy with the Bears focusing on, okay, we're going to sit in too high and we're going to allow them to, you know, and we're going to focus on making sure we're getting the ball out of his head. He better get the ball out of his hands quick as he can, because if he don't, we're fucking cooked. And right now the Bears look like they're ranked like 20th in passing defense. Rushing defense, the Bears are about the same. So terrible. So they're terrible on both sides of the ball. But I still think, because Josh Jacobs is struggling right now with some injuries, I'd rather you sitting too high. I'd rather you do that. And even if you have to throw out some, you know, sitting a 4-3 and maybe use a linebacker to get him up there, and maybe use someone like C.J. Gardner-Johnson to play a little stud. And
C.J. Gardner-Johnson be high-fiving niggas on the sideline.
Right. So whoever's going to – whether that's Kyler or whether that's someone else, or whether you have someone else dig deep, there's got to be a way to not devote so much time to sitting in man. Because you're just gonna lose.
Do you think the Bears need to unleash Tyrese Stevenson this week? Because he did not play a snap last week. It feels like he's very upset about that, the way Ben was talking in the virtual press conference yesterday. And he sounded like Tyreek got benched. And Tyreek was actually liking tweets yesterday, which athletes do all the time, about Tyrese Stevenson needs to play. Da 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 da. I'm not saying that Tyrese Stevenson is a huge upgrade, because he's not. But at this point, you got to try whatever. And Deshaun Wright, if he's not getting a government mandated turnover, he's getting destroyed. Okay. Yeah. So, and especially with no CJ Gardner Johnson this week, more likely, even if Kyler does play, you know, he's missed basically the entire season. I don't know how much we can really expect from him out of speed. And somebody got to help Jalen Johnson out there, because he out there looking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Jalen Johnson is looking like how Day-Day looked when he was chasing Baby D in the parking lot on next Friday. I know he's hurt, so you got to give him a pass, but it don't look good. So I would give Tyreek a chance, just because you ain't got no other shot right now.
I mean, Jalen Johnson's coming off of two different groin injuries. I'm not that – him not being able to run with the receiver all across the field, I kind of expect that, which is why I'm like, why the hell are you sticking in man? That's just not going to work for him right now. But when he's been healthy, he's been a fine cornerback. And on top of that, he's still a ball hawk. So that's not my concern. Deshaun Wright, for as many turnovers we got this year, he is burnt toast when it comes to covering receivers. It just doesn't work. And so this is why I do agree with, man, just put Tyreek in. Is it that bad? Like, have we not seen enough? I'd rather Tyreek be in at the two, and then Deshaun is coming in as some depth to allow, you know, players to get rest, and maybe Jalen Johnson to not have to play as many snaps, to maybe come in and support, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, rather than having Deshaun out there as that primer. It's just, it's not a good call. There have been very few times this year I'm like, man, You know, Nashawn got burned and he got moused, but that was good defense. I think on that, who's number five on the Bengals?
Did he play T. Higgins?
T. Higgins. He had the touchdown T. Higgins got. It was like a bomb from Flacco. I was like, man, Nashawn Wright played great defense. You just got to deal with it. You got to honor that.
But he played great defense.
Oh, my God, he's 5 yards off. He's 10 yards off. The dude is 15 yards upfield. It's too much of that.
He got burned by Jordan Addison in Minnesota, but recovered for that end zone pick. But right. He did get cooked. But he found a way to, you know, use his height to grab the ball. Before we get into the rest of the ramifications for this game and predictions, I just want to take a quick salute to Caleb Williams. One of the things we said in our preseason podcast was, by the end of this year, we need to know who Caleb Williams is, one way or another. And I think we've got a resounding answer, an answer that we were all hoping to hear. These are Caleb Williams' 2025 stats. He finished with a franchise record, 3,942 passing yards, 58 shy of the 4,000 mark. He had a total of 4,330 yards. He had 31 total touchdowns, which is a franchise record. 27 of those were passing. Only threw 7 interceptions. He has 6 fourth quarter comeback wins, which is the most by a quarterback at his age since Peyton Manning. 11-6 record, finishes the 2-seed and NFC North Division champions. I think what we saw from Caleb was even better than I thought we were going to see this year. I predicted 25 touchdowns. I had 3,800 yards. But even with the numbers, I didn't think that he was going to pass the eye test as well as he passed it this year, and especially the second half of the season. It's to the point right now where he has full control of the offense. I have full faith in him. For the first time in my life as a Bears fan, I don't panic when the ball's in the air. When he throws a pick, I'm like, oh, shit, he threw a pick? Like, it's one of them. Like, when he threw that pick to DJ, that should have been unearned, and that should have been on DJ.
No. Like, that was on him. That was a bad ball. Bear in mind, if DJ was able to continue the ride, I probably would have batted down, but it wasn't his best ball.
I think DJ stopped running the route. But my point is, he doesn't throw a lot. And he has played all 34 games of his career, which is incredible. He has not missed any game from injury. And in those 34 games, he has a total of 13 interceptions, which is crazy. So I loved what I saw from him. I think that, you know, how he plays in the fourth quarter to me is the best. How many times we watch Justin Fields hoping he can have a lead, you know, have a comeback, and he just never did it. You know, Mitch had a couple, but you still feared that he was going to do something stupid. I am absolutely calm in the fourth quarter when, you know what I'm saying, he's going out there. This is what Orlando said. He was also the most accurate QB in throwing post routes. The deep ball has improved. Deep ball has improved tremendously. The Bears led the league in explosive plays, which was crazy. I think next year it's going to get scary for a lot of people. I think as this speaks right now, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think next year he's going to be trying to take one of those elite quarterback spots. I really do about that. What's your thoughts on Caleb's year? Was it better than you expected? Right about what you expected?
Oh, no, it was better. I mean, I think my thought was like 24 touchdowns, 3,600 yards. He had 39, almost 4,000. He had 27 touchdowns. Probably should have had 30, considering a few misses and a few picks. I don't panic when Caleb has the ball. Caleb has solidified himself as the franchise quarterback. And to me, because the bar is in hell, he's already the best Bears quarterback I've seen. Someone who learns from his mistakes but isn't afraid to keep that ball going. He threw that pick, came back, and threw 2 touchdowns. I'm very, very satisfied with his first year as quarterback. Very, very happy. Not satisfied because I want them to go on. Like, I think a playoff win this is a successful season. Not like you just got there. Because, you know, this is not like –
I got some questions about that.
What'd you say?
So we're going to get in that just a second, because I got some questions about that.
You know, it's not about just getting it. Now it's about what can we do? What can they do with it? It's time to work. So I'm very excited, very satisfied with the season he's had.
So when you bring up the successful thing, and that's why I want to talk about the ramifications of this package. Now, I want to say that what I'm about to say, I know, is meatheadish and delusional fanish, But if they lose on Saturday, it would tank the way I look at the season. Now, does that mean I don't view the season as a success? No, it's a success no matter what happens on Saturday. But it'll have a little bit of an aftertaste. Like, you know, you throw up after a night of drinking and, you know, you wake up the next morning and, you know, even though your hangover might be gone a little bit, you still got some bad phlegm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you lose on Saturday, there'll be some bad phlegm. I'll get over in a month, maybe 2 months, because it's the Packers. But it will still be question marks for me. I don't want to go into 2026 with question marks. If you lose on Saturday, that means you finished 2-5 in the division, including the playoffs. You lost 2 out of 3 to the Packers. The one game you won was on a last-minute play in overtime with their quarterback being in a locker room with a concussion. As much as we don't want to hear Packer fans say that, it is what it is. So that would make me feel bad. I hate the fact that we got swept by the Detroit Lions. I hate the fact that we even split with the Minnesota Vikings. You should have beat them week one. If you think about this, if they hold on to that week one score, the Bears aren't playing this week because they're the number one seed. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it would leave a bad taste in my mouth. But that's why it's a battle of extremes. Because they win. If they win, this is going to feel like, even though I'm not a Cubs fan, this is going to feel like when the Cubs in 2015 didn't win the NL Central, but came in there and knocked off the Cardinals in the first round. They were no longer concerned about the Cardinals ever again.
Yeah.
If the Bears win this is going to be a brutal blow to that organization in Green Bay and a brutal blow to that fan base. And if you're the Bears now, it's like, okay, yeah, we might not have beat Detroit, and that's going to be a rivalry. You're still going to have to beat Detroit next year. But you can officially wear the crown. If you lose on Saturday, this is going to sound funny and don't really matter. You know, you would not have had a chance to celebrate your division title.
Yeah.
And people, and when the offseason starts and we're lacking content, what's going to be the number one story? Oh, the Bears is definitely going to be a drop-off candidate. We already hearing the strength of schedule BS already, which is a laughable conversation every year because the Bears schedule was supposed to be easy this year. And it wasn't.
No.
The Bears had one of the toughest schedules.
Next year, brother, is a gauntlet.
Huh?
That schedule next year is a gauntlet.
But I'm saying we don't know what those teams are going to look like next year. There could be injuries. And the NFL is a year-to-year league. None of us had the Bears being this good. Everybody looked at the Bears, they scheduled coming to 2025 W, and it wasn't. So that's why I'm saying strength of schedule is just, it's June, and the only thing that's on right now is baseball and NBA finals. So we got to talk about something. So I don't want to go into the season with those question marks. So, yes, it will be a successful season regardless. But if they lose on Saturday, it's going to change how I feel about this year. I'm not going to look at it as fondly as I did. Yeah. How would a win or a loss change your view on this season?
Nothing. I would still look upon it fondly. I look upon 2018 fondly. We fucking had the double doink in the playoffs against the Eagles. So, no, I want them to win, but my expectations are still low, not because I don't think they're capable, because they haven't shown me yet that they are that guy. They're the guys. They show me that they're going to keep fighting. You know, they'll come back at the end. If you give them an inch, they're going to take a foot. But that's not necessarily the recipe for a consistent playoff contender. And, yeah, there's going to be talks and people are going to say this, but that's happened the whole time I've been a Bears fan and covered the Bears. So that doesn't concern me. But – It won't damage the season, because in your first year after coming off in a historically bad year, you are now on the verge of winning. You won the division, but now you're going to be on the verge of winning your first playoff game. And for me, that's you can't look at it and not say, wow, you know, this is a good season. Because when I look at Nagy's first year, they were coming off 5-11 with John Fox. You know, finish last, dead last in the division. Next year with Nagy, here's 12-4. And
what was 29? When I looked at that, was it 7-9?
29, it was 8-8.
And then the year they made the playoffs in 2020 was 8-8 or
8-9. Right. And it's just interesting. Right. It's interesting because when you look at the stats next to each other, the records next to each other, the Bears were, before Ben Johnson, 5-12. Five wins. Before Nagy, it was 5 wins. And so, you know, you're coming off of a situation where I look at both, you know, perspectives, and I think, man, I love 2018. 2018 was fun as hell. You know, there was hope. There was love. There was the fact that I'm like, man, maybe Mr. Trubisky is the guy, man. I love Allen Robinson is such a great dude. Anthony Miller is an up-and-coming wide receiver. Tariq Cohen is an explosive playmaker. I had hope. The defense was insane. I had hope. And so I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be look upon this sadly. I'm going to look upon this fondly. However, I am not satisfied. And you shouldn't, because if you, I'm not settling for that. But if this happens, I'm like, man, that loss sucks. But for me, it's about how they're going to play in it. In every game Caleb's been against the Packers, they have played and been in the game. Can they continue that? But now take that from here to here. But the implications are, if you beat them in the playoffs, oh, the monkey in your back is gone. Like there's this demon that has crept in the night and has taken over your thoughts and, oh, God, Packers, oh, Packers. That makes us go, as soon as the Bears lost that game to the Lions and the Eagles didn't hold on, you're like, oh, Packers. Like, that will be gone. And now it's going to be Packers fans are going to say, oh, shit, Caleb. And so, yeah, there are high implications, but I'm still rational and I still stick with they have to show me. I'm going to show me. A fan. Show me you can actually.
You've been consistent with that all season. You've been consistent with that.
Show me, fan. I am a fan of terrible teams. I am a fan of powerhouses like the Buckeyes. And Michigan dominated us for 4 years. And so people are like, you're going to be the Wolverines? I'm like, we'll see. They got to show me something. But now I'm like, all right. So that monkey that was on Ryan's day back, man, you can't beat them. Whoop their ass. I'm like, okay, now you have the confidence. And people be shocked how much confidence is effective and how much momentum. One that I will never let I don't know Bomani Jones, I'm not on his level fame and in sports media wise, but I can never understand why he did not understand momentum. It is key. You can build momentum in the short during the game or in the long over the span. And so it got to the point where the momentum of the Packers was, we have beat your ass for 2 decades. You can't stop us. The last time you had the Bears had a coach that consistently beat up on the Packers was what is the fuck? I'm losing his name. 85 coach. What did the
Mike Ditka?
Mike fucking Ditka. I was thinking fucking Dick Bucket in my head. But Mike Ditka was
the name sounds the same.
Right. Mike Ditka was 15-5-1 against the Packers. Yeah. Dominated them. But before that, you got some 5-2 coaches, 5-1, 3-2, 3-2. And then you go back to Hollis, who was like 45 or 46 and 33. And so think about that. And the coaches who were long term. Only two of them dominated the Packers. And so this has been a rival that has had more success than you. And, yeah, it's momentum, and it carries on for a long time. But this will be the start of, man, we ain't scared of y'all. That's what that would be. It'll be the start of, man, y'all ain't shit. And I think I saw the armor chip last year when that blocked field. I was like,
We said it out of the game.
He was like, y'all gonna understand soon. And then when Caleb beat them last year, I was like, And this year, it's like, oh. And after the game, as we're walking through Lambeau Field, I saw Bears fans were leaving. He's like, we gonna beat y'all at home. And what happened? Caleb arrived, threw to DJ. And so this, I think, will be the culmination of, it's like when you look at that bully, you like, nigga, you ain't tough. That's what that will be. This Bears-Packers game is important. It won't change how I view the season. I view the season in an incredible way. It was fun as hell to watch. But it will. Ooh, we got our parking for that game. Just making sure. But it will. I think this will become the point where the Bears and their fans go, y'all ain't shit. And it starts a new trend. And so the younger Bears fans, the 14-year-olds, the 10-year-olds, they won't grow up with, oh, Packers, oh, I don't want to play them.
They'll go, can I give you a good comparison?
They ask. And that's what I want. That's what I want Bears fans to do. Because, again, they're the bully until they get their ass knocked out. They're the best until they ain't.
I have a question for you. And this goes right where you said. Do you think Red Sox fans under 25 feel the New York Yankees?
No.
Exactly. Do you think Red Sox fans over 30 and fear against the New York Yankees? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Over 30, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Over 30. Yes. Because 30, that's
what the fuck it is.
Over 30, remember the coast of the Bambino. Do you understand? I would have played in traffic after that Aaron Boone home run. That's the reason Aaron Boone is employed today, okay? Because of that home run. So there comes a point where, like you said, you got to put them to the sword. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, you got to do that. The Cubs had to do that with the Cardinals. For the Chiefs to get where they are, they have to do that to Tom Brady. in the Patriots. You know what I'm saying? Peyton Manning. He couldn't beat Tom Brady for nothing his first half of the season, first half of his career. Remember the three-interception game, Ty Law in the school, get beat up, and then what happened? They were down 21-6. The year that they won the Super Bowl. They were down 21-6 at home, and they came back one. I think Tom Brady beat him once in the playoffs, one time after that. And, of course, we all know about Michael Jordan and the Detroit Pistons. You eventually got to do
you
it.
Know, right. But, you know, it's, I like the I like the when you mentioned the curse of the Bambino and how the Yankees dominated the Red Sox for like fucking 80 years or something like that.
100.
And for me, that's what it comes down to. It's, yeah, the Yankees did dominate for 80-something years. And I don't know the exact record between the two, but it was something like the playoff series wins versus before 2004. I don't think Red Sox had won. I think it was like 10 playoff wins to none.
Yeah, they did. They had one. Like Red Sox Yankees now is watered down. Like when they ran the playoffs this year, I was like, somebody got to get punched. Like I remember Veritek running up on A-Rod. You know what I'm saying? I remember Pedro knocking Zimmer down. Like there's no beef anymore since the Red Sox beat them.
Right, but just, you know, stick with your point is that they dominated the Red Sox until they didn't. I do not know if this will be when the Bears go, man, y'all ain't shit, and it's over with. But it's a good chance to.
Yeah. Before we give our picks, because I know, Joe, you got to get back to helping the youth. Shefty just said Braxton and Kyler are expected to come back from IR. I don't know if y'all hit on this. If Ozzy can't go, does Braxton get the start? I would rather start Joe than throw Braxton Jones back out there.
Will stick with Theo Benedict. No.
Yes, I will stick with Theo Benedict and our good Canadian brother, Theo Benedict.
I'm not Peyton's, doing Braxton Jones.
Your thoughts are correct based off the Caleb that you brought up. Yes, 6 comeback wins. It sounds good as a win, but being coach in the offseason, I want to know why we needed 6 comeback wins. And that's a good point, too, because – the Kansas City Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl last year.
He's a literal coach, so you know he has to go through this and he has to have these conversations. I'll be the Catholic League team finally. Yeah, I lost to Brother Rice the next round, but us being in public school finally thrashing guys, we constantly moving next. You start to look at them different. It's like, man, you just somebody else. You know what I mean?
But that's also something that you can't rely on next year. That and the turnover battle.
It reminds me of Kyrie High School playing Lane Tech during my era on fucking Max Preps. On Max Preps in the 2007-2008 season, it says that Lane Tech beat us twice. We beat them twice. Somebody went in there and fucked up them scores. I literally had newspaper clippings that I put on Max Preps. But I say all that to say Lane Tech had dominated Curie for a long time. Until we came in there and beat them niggas up. Close game in the regular season, whoop their ass in the playoffs. Because, again, it got to a point where it was like, Curie folks before that was like, Lane Tech, here we go. And we like, you know, kids who are new to this, man, fuck them. And that's the same way Caleb and his group is like, we that wasn't us. You know what I mean? You gotta scrap us. And so that's what happened. And what we do, we dominated them. And so undefeated against them. Don't forget that. You Lane Tech niggas who was there. We whooped y'all ass. But anyway, that's what happens. It goes from
that's true though, because then y'all play Lane Tech in the y'all played Lane Tech on the homecoming game my last year. Only y'all beat them up very badly. Very, very badly. I think y'all put up like 50 on them or something like that.
Won the conference. Dogged them niggas. And so they went from Lane Tech, that big logo, to they just another school. And for
you have an opportunity to do that.
And now I will say I think that this Bears team doesn't look at the Packers the way the teams have evolved. It's like, man, it's just another team.
No, I don't think they do either. And that's why I think that win a couple weeks ago is important because they know they can beat them. And if I'm Caleb, what you just said earlier about, man, I should at least be 3-1 against them. Like, and I honestly woulda, coulda, shoulda. We can say that about anything in life. But in his head, in an athlete's head, you got to have that delusion. He probably think, I should be 3-1 on these dudes. So that's right. So final thing, let's pick what's going to happen this Saturday. You want me to go first or you want to go?
You can go.
I have a bold prediction. Now, this is probably my heart speaking more than my head, but I'm going off the calculations of the times that division teams meet in the playoffs meet in the season 3 times. Last year we had it with the Eagles and the Commanders, which I think is a good comparison. The Eagles and Commanders' first 2 games, they split. between the two. Both were a one score game. Commanders 1-1, Eagles 1-1. In the NFC Championship game, they dusted the Commanders 55-22. Mainly the first half was close, and then the defense and Saquon took the rubber off in the second half. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Now, Jordan Love plays really good in the first round of the playoffs. He has had 740 yards passing. That's actually not true. I don't know what stat it was because he threw four picks against Philly last year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Anyway, my point being, I think that the Bears defense is going to rise up and make a couple plays. I think they are going to get two turnovers. I think this offense is going to take all the stuff they've learned over the last couple weeks, and I think you're going to see the first complete game. I do think this is going to be a very close game in the fourth quarter, but I do think the Bears are going to get a late field goal that's not going to make this a two possession game. I've got the Bears winning this one 34-24. And that was my next round.
That was my original score. And I am going to look at it as the Bears are going to probably have a 17-14 lead at halftime. And it will I'm assuming my thought would be the Packers will score first. The Packers will have the ball first, score first, Bears will respond. And it'll probably just teeter back and forth with some missed drives between the two until it finally ties 14-14. Bears will get the ball right before halftime, get 17-14, get the ball at halftime, go up 24-14. And then after that, they will control the ball 27-14, finally get it up to 34-14. Packers will score late touchdown, get a field goal, probably in 34-24. So, yeah, I like that score. 34-24 would be mine. And this is not me. I'm not going to be a homer and just dismiss the Packers and say, yeah, they got enough. Of course they do. Packers can absolutely win this game. And I don't – you know, it's like when you look at Wisconsin ESPN radio or something. They're talking about, you know, Caleb ain't that good, this and that. They're just being homer. I don't have to be homer. I can be realistic with you. And the Packers do have enough to win this game. Absolutely. But I do think the biggest issue is that in those playoffs, people like the Romeo Doubs and those other receivers are not – the guys that are going to get the job done. You're going to need a little bit more. And also the missing of Micah Parsons and the fact that the Bears can run on this Packers team is going to be the difference. And so I can see Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift getting 150 combined yards on them and Caleb adding in 2-3 passing touchdowns. And, I think the Bears win 34-24, very competitive first half. And the score might look like it's two scores, but it will still be competitive throughout the game.
Yeah, it's going to be a late field goal, I believe. It's going to be one of them things where if the Bears don't score on this drive, the Packers can tie, and I think they'll get a field goal. My Scott Lewis Player of the Game, which is an award that just got invented today, I think the typical answer would be DJ, and I'll be Caleb Williams. I'm giving it to the Philly Bull. DeAndre Swift is going to have an incredible game on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Damien, I'm with you. I would absolutely love for us to just go out there and throttle them. But this defense is so bad that we could be up 28-7 in the third quarter. And I'm like, hey, they can still come back because the defense likes to do that. But that would be – I would love a blowout. That would like to happen, but I don't see that happening. But, yeah, I think DeAndre Swift is going to be playing the game. And a couple news nuggets before we wrap this up. Yes, the Bears announced that Kyler Gordon and Braxton Jones have officially – been designated from IR. Caleb Williams, when asked about Roma Dunze's availability on Saturday, he said it's going to be fun. So I take that as Romulus will be playing on Saturday. And for all of y'all who've been leaving the Rome bandwagon, I see you, okay? Has Luther progressed fast enough? Yes. I think Luther is your big play guy. And shout out to the DJ. I think JL or DJ on Saturday. For every time Luther gets a catch, they play a part from Kendrick Lamar Luther. I thought that was funny, nice little thing that they had going on in the stadium. But Caleb, use all your weapons. We don't forget how just important Rome. We forgot just how important Rome is. You know what I'm saying? My only issue being with Rome has been drops, and he doesn't really go all the way on 50-50 balls. But I think Rome is gonna have a big game. We all know that Colston is becoming Caleb's Travis Kelce. That's a big comment. Just Ben, don't galaxy brain it and use, spread the wealth. Spread the wealth with your offense. And I think if the Bears do lose on Saturday, and this is no disrespect to the Packers, no disrespect to their fan base. And I mean actual Packer fans. Because actual Packer fans from Wisconsin, I hate to say this, they actually are nice. And it makes me angry to a degree I can't describe. It's the people from Chicago or people who live in, like, I don't know, another state who don't even know what Wisconsin looks like. Those are the worst ones. But said, I wish DJ good fortune in Las Vegas next year. If that's what it takes to get Max Crosby, I'm sorry. I sound like I'm talking myself into this because at this point is all I have. I love my European football club. I'm not ready for them to be on the team I want to watch right now. I want another playoff game. So I think Bears win 34-24. DeAndre Swift has a big game. I said DeAndre Swift scores 2 touchdowns. I think Caleb gets 2 touchdowns. Looking forward to it, man. I'm nervous, but looking forward to it. I will be in Soldier Field early, though. I think we learned our lesson a couple weeks ago about that traffic on Saturday game, and I think that's going to be times 30 this week because of the playoffs. Yeah. I'm going to be there very early. Yeah. So,
Facts.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap this up?
No.
So that is all we got for y'all, man. If the Raiders can have Tyrese Stevenson, the Raiders need a lot. If the Bears – well, regardless of what happens, we're going to record on Tuesday. So next Tuesday we'll be back. It's either going to be a previewing divisional round game or it's going to be the Cleaning Out the Lockers podcast, the season finale. I hope it's the first one. Hopefully we're up here talking about, a second-round matchup, a second game in Soldier Field. So for Scott, for Flows, you know to follow us at Barchef Scott, at Flows and Alini. All of the links, my YouTube channel, Patreon, all the podcast feeds for the network are in the description box. We'll holler at y'all Sunday, man. We'll holler at y'all Sunday. And bear down. We up out of here.
This is Bobby Yingham, Curtis Dennis. Know that we can love you way back from the beginning. I trust the source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. This is Bobby Yingham, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. The Bears.